Support for this episode comes from NerdWallet. Got money goals? NerdWallet's got your back. Looking for a credit card with better cash back? NerdWallet's got tons of tools and tips to help you find the card you're looking for. Finally ready to buy your first home? NerdWallet has calculators to help you find a mortgage that works for you. And if you want your money to work as hard as you do, NerdWallet's got side-by-side comparisons to help you find the smartest investing account. Whatever your money goals may be, NerdWallet helps you compare and find the smartest financial products for you. NMLS 1617539.
Everyone, and welcome to From Complex to Queens. I'm Ken Lavin, and this week I'm joined by Thomas Henderson. How are you doing today, Thomas?
I'm doing well. Mets notwithstanding.
they've looked pretty bad.
Yeah, this is not a good series.
I think the Rays just have that effect on people.
Yeah, they're just annoying. They're an annoying team to play, and everyone got hurt more so than even normal. So
literally, like all of the team besides like Alonso, Stroman, and like.
Yeah, a few starters. Just like, it's literally the bench mob are now the starter mob, so that's fun.
Yeah, no, it's one thing I wanted to ask you about is how many games until you think Tomas Nido like takes the lion's share of the playing time?
So I think that's complicated just because they paid McCann so much for so long. That I think they're gonna, like, if it was a 110 for McCann, like a 1 year deal, then I could see it already happening. But if you give a guy 4 years and $40 million, you kind of gotta be like, you gotta figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I think $10 million annually shouldn't be like a terrible amount to pay for a backup catcher. Especially when your initial catcher is like, making
the minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could easily justify it as the reverse. Like, you could just kind of be like, hey, look, we're paying catchers this much, and we're getting this production. But it just kind of sucks that that's what happened.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that we would be on the days of the paycheck dictating playing time, but...
Yeah. Also, I mean, if the Mets need to start winning and McCann ain't hitting, then I could see it happening a little more frequently. Maybe even in this upcoming stretch, because we were talking about the bench and stuff, like, all those players are hurt right now. Like, Jose Peraza is probably the starting second baseman in Atlanta tomorrow.
So,
if you really think that Nito's a better hitter now, you might as well just start him, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
At the very least, I think they should be looking to move more towards a 50-50 touch.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I would be there now.
Already. That should have already happened, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I wrote an article this offseason, actually, about when they signed McCann. I basically said, like, the Mets need to invest in a backup catcher who's, like, good. Because McCann's never played more than 110 games. He's never been a starter. You don't know what type of physical effects this type of workload will have on him. And who knows if that's why he's not been hitting or because he's just turning back into what he was before he hit. But, like, realistically, if I'm the Mets, Nito has shown that he could be that guy, and I had doubts about him being that guy, seeing him coming up through the system. And even last year, it was like he hit really well for, like, a week, and then he got COVID and, like, never really got back in game shape. But Nito's shown that he could do that. So
even if he doesn't – like, if neither of them are hitting – you know, I'd rather the guy be back there who can, you know, defend at a close to elite level, you know?
I think he's elite. Like, I don't think you...
I think he's really good.
Yeah, I think he's, like, an upper-tier defensive catcher. And even if he provides some offense, and he has pot now, and maybe the LASIK really did help.
Yeah, he'll run into a few, you know? That's a long tradition with the Mets of having guys who can't really hit as backup catchers, but guys who can hit, you know, long dongs from time to time.
And, like, he has the defense, and if you let him play three times a week, who cares? Yep. Especially if McCann doesn't hit, because you're not losing anything. You're not losing that
There's no downside risk.
Not there, yeah.
Gotcha.
But I mean, yeah, I think it'll happen at some point. Maybe the All-Star break is if he's still this bad, they're going to be like, oh, well, we got to start playing.
Going to lose a lot of games before then, but sure.
I'm just trying to give them the...
I can see that being a realistic point of demarcation, you know?
I can see that.
Bad for half of you.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we get into things, I think we need to address the elephant in the room. So, Thomas, a player that some have described as a meme on the back half of the 40-man roster has turned into something of like a mythic figure.
Yes.
How have you enjoyed hashtag Mazika Magic so far?
It's amazing. Because, like, as someone coming from the minor league side of the Mets stuff, I've seen him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been here forever. And I'm like, well, he's not good. So I don't really understand why he's here in terms of the 40-man and even when they called him up. And then he's getting these opportunities and I'm like, oh, he's just going to look horrible and strike out. And he just looks horrible and grounds into a fielder's choice to win a baseball game. So like, and today he yoked one. Like he got a pitch to hit and he did not miss. So it's fun. I mean, granted he probably shouldn't be on the roster and granted he should probably like, I don't know how he survived this long, but also at this point, it's Mazika Magic time, and we might as well just have fun with it.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the best things in life are unexplainable and seem to come out of nowhere, and both of those describe Patrick Mazika.
Oh, yeah.
Perfectly. So.
It's really quite amazing because, like, sure, he finally hit the home run and it was a big boy, but, like, before that, his combined hits had to go, like, maybe 60 feet.
Maybe.
And, like, the combined contact he made, really. And, like, against Valdez, he looked like he didn't know what the hell was going on. And granted, he's, like, Cesar Valdez is probably a very annoying pitcher to face for Mike Trout because of what it is and how weird it is.
Maybe the most unique pitcher to pitch since, like, Mariano Rivera.
Exactly. Like,
how he goes about things.
It's, like, 80% changeups and there's three different ones. Like, I don't blame anyone for looking weird.
Yeah.
And, or, like, you don't see that when you're in the Mets trip farm system for years. You know what I mean? Like you just
The closest thing I can think of to that kind of pitcher is like Mickey Janis, and that's a completely different thing altogether.
Exactly. So like I don't blame him for not knowing how to handle that, and he also walked him off. So but he's gonna stick now, probably by default for a while, because I would assume McNeil goes on IL at some point with his vague cramps. And I assume that Conforto goes on IL because he pulled his hamstring probably in the first inning of the last game, but of this game that just happened on Sunday. So like, he's going to stick around and he's going to get more plate appearances with runners on base. So maybe he just keeps driving in runs. Who knows?
I honestly hope he drives in a bunch more runs and never gets another hit.
Honestly, like I really like him hitting a home run to get his first hit was about perfect as possible, but him having like a zero batting average and having like 10 RBI and they're all like huge moments, like either walk-offs or like gives the Mets the lead in Atlanta in the ninth inning or something. Like I feel like that would have been extremely on brand for what this all is. I mean, hey, good for him. He's going to he's going to make enough money, more money in this month or whatever than he would have in an entire minor league season. And he's got t-shirts on like whatever and like, people are talking about how cool he is and all this stuff and how much they love him. So that's awesome for him.
For a lot of these guys, I really think about it like if they make the big leagues at all, that's like a crazy victory.
I mean, Jake Hager.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like anything after that is just icing on the cake. So
for sure, for sure, for sure.
Patrick Mazika, a success. Jake Hager, a success.
Hager's made some nice contact too. At least twice. Like, he lined out twice, but it was, like, hard-hit balls. Those definitely could have doubled.
Yeah, some will fall at some point.
And he was good to start the season. He had, like, 400 in Syracuse for a bit.
And, like we've discussed, with all of the injuries, more names are going to be coming up. So they're all going to get more chances. So.
Yeah.
All right, now let's forge ahead to our draft updates. Thomas, how has Andrew Painter fared since
his season ended? Remember?
I don't.
Yeah, he his team lost in the playoffs. So, he pitched like two perfect innings in relief in the last playoff game and they lost. So he's doing his circuit stuff now, probably. He's doing his like draft offseason stuff. Cause I'm assuming he's going to get drafted in the first round, even if it's a little after 10, probably. I would bet he goes. And, I think he's committed to Florida. So he's probably just working out and getting ready for the upcoming draft cycle and everything that comes with it.
So his season in total, let's just talk, his draft stock way up?
So a lot of people were saying, like, a lot of, like, scout people, not scout people, but, like, Jim Callis and stuff, were saying, like, his stock actually went down because, like, the way they used him was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like, they almost used him as, like, a fireman situation thing where he would come in and pitch, like, three innings multiple times a week instead of just starting. And he wasn't, like... It's funny to say, like, a dude with, like, a 0.34 ERA and a bunch of strikeouts wasn't as dominant as you would think, but that's kind of what happened, where, like, there were points where he could have been a little bit more dominant against his competition and wasn't. But granted, he's also going in the 10 to 20 range. So his stock is probably kind of, like, I think it's kind of neutral. Like, I don't think he was going to ever fly up into the top 10 because of the top 10s being really strong this year, pretty much. Like, we were talking, like, Lucas's guy and, your guy was the top 10 guy for a bit and fell off because of,
there's a lot of college pitching.
Yes. And there's also a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of college pitching, and that's what the Mets are kind of mocked at from what I've seen. So, yeah, it's just hard to break into the top 10 like that. And he pitched as like three or four innings every few days type guy and had a few starts and struck out a lot of people and walked some people and didn't really get hit. So. It was like it was a good season, and he's going to get drafted in the first round if he or go to Florida and just be a college pitcher and get drafted
just
later.
Like fall out in the SEC. Yeah.
Like he's a good player, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah, to affect
to dissuade me from that fact. So, yeah, you know, like it wasn't one of those things where he ran like a 5 ERA or even a 2, and I was like, oh no, he's starting to get like he got found out by high school kids. Like that's not what happened. You know what I mean? Like he just
it's kind of hard to unless your fastball pops into triple digits, it's kind of hard to like really shoot up your draft stock as a high schooler.
Yeah, because like
your performance doesn't really matter.
Like he ran like a 0.5 ERA as a freshman. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
like
the talent disparity is so big.
He was already better than all the kids that he was facing when he was 14. So now that he's 18, he's just kind of like doing his thing. I also wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit boring. At that point, like, mentally, like, you're not really being challenged at that point. And it's been like that for a while now, so he's probably just ready to move on.
Got money goals? NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more. Maybe you're looking to book that thrice-postponed honeymoon. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest travel rewards card now so you can earn points towards that much-deserved trip. Or if you're thinking it's time for a bigger house now that your family is about to grow by exactly one bedroom... NerdWallet's got calculators and tools to help you find the smartest mortgage. And since your family is growing, it's probably a good idea to think about your child's future college plans, right? Well, NerdWallet's got your back with the smartest investing accounts for college funds and more. With side-by-side comparison tools, calculators, and more, NerdWallet can help you find answers to all of your money goals, big or small. From credit cards, mortgages, investing accounts, and more, NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest financial products for you. For all of your money questions, turn to the nerds at NerdWallet. NMLS 1617539.
Support for this episode comes from Locker Room, the app that's changing the way we talk sports. Locker Room is a sports fan's dream come true. It's a live audio platform that lets you connect with other fans, experts, and even the athletes themselves. Locker Room makes it easy to start your own conversations. Talk about the latest rumors, takes, news, and teams you care about most. Join massive watch parties for all of your friends to react together in real time as you celebrate a buzzer beater or suffer the agony of a crucial bricked free throw. And if you've got a bunch of supremely spicy takes you'd like to fire off, you're in luck. You can even record the conversations if you want and release them as a podcast. So it's time to start thinking about catchy titles. It's all totally free and available at the iOS App Store right now. So go download it today. Locker Room. Changing the way we talk sports.
So So how's your guy been doing?
Did
he finally figure out how to hit home runs?
No. So definitely had an up week, but I don't think enough to really change the conversation around his draft at all, stock at all.
Interesting.
He went 8-for-16, the last week and a half or so.
You will take that. That's good.
Yeah, you'll take that. There were a pair of doubles, smattered in there. But he's remained pretty steady from a triple slash perspective, to where he's been. So batting now 305, 409, 449 in 167 at bats. And, the plate discipline's still been great, but still no power to speak of. I mean, it's probably been well over a month since his last home run.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd say even, I guess. The conversation hasn't really changed, but
yeah,
he's still putting the bat on the ball and getting on base. And
some team is going to see him and be like, we will fix him and just run to the podium at like 20.
Yep.
Or something.
Yeah, 20 is about where I think he's going to end up. I think
and
there's
a 20,
enough
that's
upside
a hell of
in
it.
The bat. Yeah, there's enough upside in the bat where somebody's going to take a chance on him early enough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the warts are starting to show a bit.
For sure. That's he's definitely an interesting dude because, like, he's obviously a good player, like, good enough to hit contact-wise at the college level, but to not have any power with a metal bat is, like,
he is wild.
Like, I don't know how you pull that off. You know what I mean?
I mean, usually it's the opposite way, where a guy has a ton of power with the ping bat.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come with him to pro ball, but we shall see.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's super interesting. He's definitely an interesting case.
Yep. So I guess now we're just going to, you know, kind of go down a list of prospects and kind of give our early impressions of some of the guys in the system. Thomas, has anybody really stood out to you so far?
Stood out is, that's a tough one because I want to say guys like Mauricio has been really good, but like,
yeah, no, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's been great and like, he's one of those dudes who you kind of had, you could get some questions about his bat because of everything. And also he's young and also he got 800 feet taller since we've last seen him. So like, and he's kind of not even let it affect him, you know, like he started off hot and he's going to move through the system, not move through the system quick, but he's going to move past where he's at, I think pretty fast. And yeah. Beatty looks, I feel like they've kind of smoothed out some stuff with Beatty in terms of his swing, in terms of, it's a little more level now because it had the loops in it. Even though I still liked it, there was still a level of loopiness to it. I think that's kind of
yeah. He definitely can get a little uppercutty.
And he looks like he's doing that less and less now, which is
yeah,
nice.
It looks like he's adjusting a little better to anything, you know, above the belt. So I've also been very impressed by the two of them. Mauricio's probably striking out a little more than I'd like him to.
Yeah.
But we're still very early. He's still very young. And for somebody who's just kind of figuring out how to hit for power for the first time, I'm fine with some swing and miss.
Yeah, same. Like,
you know, he's trying to figure out how to yoke the ball. Yeah. He should be aggressive.
And he's never really done that stuff before. Like,
yeah.
He's just, that hasn't been his game. I know Tyler McGill has been really good so far, which
you
is nice.
A glowing review from, or yes. Not a glowing review, but a good review from Steve.
Yeah, that's where
he's not with us this week. Yeah, because he's sitting on Binghamton for a few days. Yeah, I haven't really seen him pitch, but he certainly looks like he'll be in the churn soon.
Oh yeah, if the injuries keep up this way and injuries keep up this way and the pitching needs arms like it has needed to because of how bad the starters like the bullpen hasn't been bad, but eventually you're just gonna need dudes to throw the ball because there's like two bullpen games every 5 days.
Yeah, right. They're already burning through arms at an alarming rate. So
yeah, they need to find more.
At some point, yeah. He's gonna get a shot,
and that's good. Like I'm happy for him to get a shot, and he looks like he deserves it with the way he's pitching so far. Yeah. So it's not really necessarily a bad thing. It's more just like a, I didn't expect this thing. Like, I never really saw much, and it looks a little better than it's been. So that's nice.
Yeah.
What about you? Have you seen it? Have you, like, seen anyone so far, thought about anyone so far?
Well, so of the obvious ones, Francisco Alvarez, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Has, you know, torn the ball apart so far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he probably should be in Brooklyn, like, now.
He will be soon. But I agree that, get him up here. Like, here being where I am, because I'm in Brooklyn, locally. But, for selfish reasons, so I could go see him. And also, like, easily. I could just hop on the train. And
yeah, and there's actual video from,
again, it's not a
high really, A.
Yeah, like, it's much easier to watch those games on TV and all that stuff. But, he's just been good. And it's one of those things where he's young and he's a catcher, so it's going to be a little weird sometimes. But if he hits, how to catch. Like, he knows what he's doing, so.
Yeah, he's not a, you know, a catcher by default. He's actually adding something.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a fun time for the young guys. And that's nice because that's what they need. Because, especially with Allen having Tommy John. Is it Tommy John? Or
yes.
Is it just?
Yes, Tommy John.
I couldn't remember if they, like, specifically said it was Tommy John, or they just said his UCL is messed up, but that's the same thing. Especially with stuff like that happening, and he's out for a year, not going to see him for a while, and again is hurt and still not back yet. He'll be back around the time when Syndergaard's back, and we need those guys to step up and take the next step as prospects if the farm system's going to grow. And so far, it looks like they can, and that's definitely a good thing. And, like, Vientos has been struggling on the other side of this. So, like, if he falters a little, we have guys to bring up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Give and take here. Okay. It sucks for Vientos, though, that he's been struggling.
Yeah. Steve has said a couple times now that the bats just look very slow.
And you could just see that, like, even not live, even on TV when I've watched Bing. It's just, he's late.
Yeah.
He's just behind everything.
He still really hasn't figured out breaking balls yet. So, Double A was always going to be the test for him. Historically, he's always been a kind of a slow starter. Hopefully, that's the case. But early returns, not great.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to be like, oh, he's terrible.
Of course,
yeah. 25, the top 25 list or anything. It's just, it sucks. You would like to see him start.
It's just not what you want.
Especially because he has guys breathing down his neck, kind of. Like,
yeah, no, Batty and Mauricio, a level below, both are arguably third baseman.
Sure. I mean, who knows where Mauricio might play? He might play in the outfield, which would be interesting, but.
Yeah. But there are guys who can play his position at the moment, kind of at the back door, so.
Yeah, it's wild to say this about him because he's, as I'm Googling, because I don't remember how old he is.
Very young. He's younger than Batty.
Yeah.
By almost a full year, if I'm correct.
I also think you're correct, but I just want to make sure before I sound stupid online. But
we do take journalistic integrity pretty seriously here at From Complex to Queens.
As Emma, he's only 21, so to say a 21-year-old needs to, like, put up or shut up at Double A is insane.
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose of everything.
Yeah, but also, like, he could soon be playing first base for Binghamton, like. Yep. If Beatty and Mauricio come up.
Yeah, no, that's a decision, a defensible decision the organization can make.
Yeah, like, and then that throws everything else off because, sure, a first base prospect, and he'll probably be I think he could be a good defensive first baseman, but if he can't hit to be a third baseman.
Yeah.
For him to hit to be, you know, like, it just kind of messes everything up for him. And you would like to see him, you would like to see Beatty replace him on a roster instead of move him to a different position on the same roster. Like, I would like to see Beatty go to third base at Bing because he moves up to Syracuse. You know what I'm saying? Not.
Yeah, no, that would be the ideal.
Yeah, and you just kind of plug everything in.
Flip-flopping Batty and Vientos.
Yeah, so. That's really what you want to see, and it's tough because he just got a hit, and that's really the big question mark for him.
Got a hit, and he so far hasn't really to the level that a player with his skill set will need to, but hopefully he comes around.
Yep. Hopefully he does.
So what are your thoughts? Thomas Sopucki will possibly be in the mix for, whose start was it?
Tuesday. Was that when DeGrom was supposed to go again? I don't know. I'm losing track of who started.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Because there's a lot of flip-flopping and everything. I know DeGrom's supposed to throw a bullpen Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
So he might go Tuesday against Atlanta, which could be bad. But also, like, good for him to get a start. And, like, realistically, who else?
Yeah, no. I kind of...
I get it.
I think he probably could. Who knows if he was healthy is the big thing, but I was kind of surprised he didn't make any appearances last year.
Oh,
given that nothing was happening.
I won.
It's finally happening and, possibly happening. I don't know. Like you said,
there's no one else though. So like, because.
Yeah, there's absolutely nobody else.
Like, I hate to be like, oh yes, he's getting this opportunity because there's no one else, but Yamamoto pitched Friday, and threw like 80 pitches. So to ask him to go again on Tuesday is a lot and not really fair to him. Lucchese looked terrible on Saturday, so he can't, and he pitched a lot, so he can't, he threw a lot of pitches, so he can't go. Like, unless you just full bullpen game it, which you can't really do because the bullpen has had
used a lot. It's also likely that if you throw Thomas Sopucki,
yeah, it's gonna be like
it will probably turn into a bullpen game.
Yeah, but like you need someone else there to kind of buffer it.
Right.
And even like what I think Sopucki is now is probably a multi-inning reliever guy, just fastball, curveball, get out the lineup once guy, and then we'll see you later, which is fine. I mean, Seth Lugo, I'm not saying that's his ceiling, but Seth Lugo shows you that you could do that in the major leagues and be successful. So it's certainly possible, but because the breaking stuff is still there and some of the velo has come back. So like maybe it could work for a few innings and then you dive, but also Luis Rojas has not shown the ability to correctly take guys out when he should, at least especially with the openers and stuff. Like, multiple times I've been like, Lucchese should not be pitching this inning. And then that's the inning he gets blown up. And it's like, well, it's because you can't pitch him this inning because he's a 3-2-3 inning guy, not a starter, you know?
Right.
So I don't really know if the Mets will put him in the right position to succeed, but also I understand why they want him to start because you're running out of options here. Like,
yeah,
it's, they should have planned. I don't know why they let Yamamoto throw that many pitches and then knowing that they needed a spot on Tuesday. It's not like this was a big secret. Someone didn't get scratched today. Like,
a question mark was pitching on Tuesday.
Yeah, like everyone knew that no one knew who was pitching on Tuesday. And I felt like Yamamoto was the perfect person to let that happen. Let him pitch 5 days before in Syracuse as a warm-up. Then you bring him up on Tuesday. You know what I mean? You let him travel. You send him to Atlanta. You have him hang out in a hotel. And then you call him up on Tuesday and then bam, you know what I mean? He's there and he's been a full-time major league starter, go six innings guy before. So that's definitely in his realm of possibility. And who knows? Maybe they call him up to pitch two or three innings and then he makes a buck. You know what I mean? Like they do something weird. Who knows? I have no idea what the plan is for Tuesday, but
I don't think they really do either. So
honestly, they probably don't. And like, it's kind of a cool story if Sopucki pitches because of everything he went through.
It's been through a lot at this point.
I'm rooting for him. I just don't know what I expect from him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just, it's hard. It's hard to expect anything because of all the injuries, but if there was something there with him for real, like there's a lot in that arm, and it's just hope that it didn't get all zapped away from injuries, because that happens to the best of them.
It's happened a lot recently, too. So,
I mean, Matt Harvey is... We saw him recently, and that dude is a pitch-to-contact soft tosser now. And it's like, Matt Harvey is that? You know?
Yeah, if you told me that in 2014 or 2015, I guess, since he missed 2014 with Tommy John, I would not have believed you.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're insane. That like 5-6 years later, Matt Harvey
he's throwing 100 right now. Like, chill.
Matt Harvey has no juice on his fastball at all. You're crazy, but it's true. Like, that's just a whatever fastball now. He just got to get soft contact in. Zapucki could probably be a little good enough. And also, that would be nice to know if he could get major league hitters out. Because,
yeah,
like, if he could get major league hitters out for 2-3 innings, and then even if they pitch him in a fourth and he gets lit up, then you could be like, oh, hello, bullpen. You know what I mean? Because you need more arms always. So, it'd be a nice trial for him.
Definitely. One guy I've wanted to talk about a little bit is Bryce Montez de Oca. For Brooklyn.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, I believe he was drafted in 2018, in the 8th or 9th round. Big, tall pitcher, but out of University of Missouri. But has just been hurt to the point where he made his professional debut a couple days ago. And the stuff is impressive. He probably at this point has the best fastball in the Mets system. In terms of velocity, he's hit 100 in both of his outings so far, even ticked a little higher. The breaking ball is also not bad. Definitely will play with 100. The big thing with him is going to be his delivery and arm action specifically. Let's go with our violent.
It's a wonder he gets hurt all the time.
yeah. He makes like a full arm circle with his arm throughout his delivery. Like you said, no wonder his injuries have played a big role in his professional career.
And not even his professional career, in college too, because I remember why he was available so late. It's like, oh, electric stuff, but he missed all of his sophomore year, basically. He was like, and only pitched in like, In the NCAA in 4 years, he only appeared 38 times. So like, it seems like a lot, but it's also not really, you know what I mean? It's only,
That's over four seasons, you know?
Yeah, that's over 4 years. That's less than.
That's maybe what you,
I'm
not sure, but, that sounds like what, like an elite college closer would have in a season, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because they're pitching all the time, because college coaches are crazy and they just throw those dudes out there all the time. And the kids do it because that's what they do. They don't say no. So, but like, he just didn't really pitch a lot at Missouri either. And it's cause he's a tall guy. He's a big guy. It's a lot. Like you said, it's violent. So it's no wonder that he gets hurt, but also this is why you draft him in the 9th round, because he has 4 2/3 scoreless innings in Brooklyn and he's struck out 5 and walked 4. It's exactly what you would expect out of a guy like that.
Yep.
And also, if he's healthy, that's a dude who flies up the system. Talking about flying up the system.
Yeah, I mean, the command matters a whole lot less when, there's really nobody blocking his way, you know?
And also, like, he's 25 and in Brooklyn. Like, even now, with it being high A, that's still old. Like, he's going to be in Binghamton if he stays healthy in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if he keeps pitching well, because those kids just can't, he's just going to blow right by him.
He's just blowing 101 easily by, children, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Even like with the move to high A, like I said before, it's still a young league because of everything else. So everything else.
It almost doesn't matter that he has no command, because if he can throw the fastball around the plate,
it's just going to get swung at and missed. Yeah. But he's interesting. He's interesting for sure, because it's just an arm they don't have. Like, it's a type. It's an archetype that doesn't exist in the Mets system right now.
Yeah, it's a guy they've tried to draft many times.
It's also a guy they tried to trade.
Lots of guys. There's like one or two in each draft that they target, which is a really big pitcher with no idea how to pitch. But you know, in the hopes of trying to teach him how to throw the ball where he wants to.
Mm-hmm. And I understand it.
As far as lottery tickets go, that's
the type of stuff you look for, because he gets command and it's over. Like, he'll come to the majors tomorrow.
He's got big league closer stuff. He's just got a delivery that's going to make it very hard for that to play.
For sure. If we're talking about a dude who's been a professional in game situations for 4 innings and we're like the best fastball in the system, it's all you need to know about or potentially even, it's all we need to know about where everything's at. Yeah. Probably Allen's is better, but like we're talking about velocity, it's definitely the highest.
Yeah, and I'll put it this way. Michael Otañez has made a few Mets top prospect lists. Mm-hmm. I definitely like Montes de Oca significantly more than Michael Otañez.
He's slotting in at like 24 for me if he's healthy at the end of this year. Like easily, because I'll just be like, he throws 100 and he's 6'7".
Yeah, and with a half-decent breaker.
Yeah, and the Mets system is like pretty up.
There's other guys who don't throw that hard and don't have as good a secondary pitch, mm-hmm. With not much better command, who have slotted in the list.
Recently. For sure. I mean, Riley Gilliam's been on the list, so
it's many not guys.
He's a lock too. Like
I
wrote him out. I was like, yep, he's on this list, like easily.
He's going to pitch in the big leagues.
Yep,
probably fairly soon.
I would not be surprised if he's up within before the All-Star break with how they need arms this year. But I mean, yeah, it's just, it's a weird system. It's a weird system because I really describe it as a haves and have nots system where there's no real guys in the middle who are like, oh yeah, he might be an okay utility player. Like that just doesn't exist. Like they're either like Matthew Allen could be like a top of the rotation pitcher and like I could see Mauricio being a starter and Alvarez being a starter. And then the rest of the dudes are like organizational depth. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a weird system that we don't really know what it is yet.
Yep. So let's talk about, there were a pair of injuries since we've last spoken. Thomas, the dream is dead. Harold Gonzalez.
The dream is dead. I feel so bad.
Tommy John surgery. Yeah, I know. Such a bummer. I wanted to see him pitch in the big leagues for so long.
I unfortunately think he missed his shot, though, here.
Yeah.
I think his shot was last year. That was the money moment for him. When the team was just a disaster and, like, trotting out, like, Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha all the time and everything else was behind DeGrom with Stroman opting out because of COVID and everything else.
Yeah. Like,
that was the moment.
Corey Oswalt.
Yeah, exactly.
There were guys who made starts who Harold was probably better than, you know?
Oh, yes. I think definitely better than. That was the money moment for him. Unfortunately, he missed it, and then the Mets were like, they became a real baseball team. And unfortunately, honestly, he could have pitched Tuesday if he didn't get hurt. Like, realistically.
Exactly, yeah, if he was not, you know, under the knife.
Yeah, like, you could have made the case for him being the guy, because he would, like, that's a more traditional starter in the sense of, if it's going well, he could give you 5-6 innings. I don't think it would go that well in the major leagues, but who knows? Weirder stuff has happened. It just sucks for him.
It does. It sucks for us all.
It does. And who knows, maybe he comes back and gets more velo, but Tommy John's Tommy John. We kind of take it, at least I do. I kind of see Tommy John and I'm like, oh, they'll be fine in a year. And that's not really what happens. Like, it's still serious.
Especially in the minors, I feel like there's a lot more variability.
I think the one that did it for me to talk about the majors for a minute was Wheeler, the one that really like had the aha moment where it's like, this is still Tommy John surgery and not just something that guys get, you know?
Yeah. Zach Wheeler, you know, went from being one of the better young pitchers in baseball to, you know, missing two full seasons.
It was that second full season where I was like, oh, like this is still like, which it's still an injury that takes a long, that could really mess with you. And he's good now, but I don't think I think he had the ceiling to be better than, he's probably like a mid-rotation starter now, and I thought he could be a top-of-the-line guy, and then it just, when you're out for two seasons, it's hard to get back to that, even if you're good still. And of course, like, cause Harvey came back from Tommy John and was fine, and then TOS was probably, I don't want to say it's directly related to, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But,
no one can tell you one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's a distinct possibility.
But, it just sucks for him. It just sucks because he's been such a good minor leaguer for so long and really deserved a shot. Like, less deserved a shot and more deserved, like, I played in the big leagues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we always say, if you make the big leagues, you're a success. Not to say that Harold Gonzalez was not successful.
Yes, he was. He was a damn good minor
leaguer. Yeah, no, he's still, you know, talk about big leaguers being the top 0.0001%. He's still in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Guy pitched and pitched pretty well in AAA. Just sucks. And hopefully he makes it someday.
Yes.
Harrow, we wish you well. Another guy who was injured this week, someone who's near and dear to your heart, Pete Crow Armstrong was put on the 10-day IL with a jammed shoulder.
He's been hot too.
He's also been very good.
Speaking of guys that early season hot starts guys, but that we talked about in the beginning of this section. But man, he's been good. it's the eye has been very advanced. I feel like even if he goes hitless in a day, he might walk or might work a count real well or something. It's advanced. It's advanced plate stuff because of the level of. And I think that's the pedigree, you know, this game isn't too big for him right now because he's been playing nationally, you know, like I'm sure he's gotten all that stuff out of the way of the jitters and stuff like that. Of course, being professional is a little bit different, but also playing for Team USA for how many years he did and all that stuff is no small deal either. So like that's some stuff dudes don't do like in a different sense. So I think that stuff has helped him kind of acclimate quick. And luckily it's just a jam shoulder. Like,
yeah, it doesn't sound like it's all that serious.
It sounds like he's just going to go on the 10-day IL, and I'm glad they were safe with him and didn't make him play with a jam shoulder. But he was on a steal, right? Like he slid.
I think so.
And he like jammed his shoulder up. So like that sucks, but he should be back sooner rather than later. And the early returns are nice, which is what you want to see, especially because of how thin the outfield depth is. In terms of, I mean, right now there were no other, there, the,
like
the
Khalil Lee roster, might be the,
he might be starting
best,
on Monday, if Conforto's hurt, because realistically it's Pillard, Dominic Smith, who's a first baseman, and Jake Hager played right field today, and, he has like 50 professional innings in the outfield, I guess 59 now. Professional innings in the outfield, before today, he had 50 or in that area. I can't remember if it was like 51 or something, but he's an infielder.
Yep.
He's an, you know, like good on him. He messed up one play, like, Austin Meadows scored on a double from first and it should have been held at third, but he missed the cutoff man. But that's what happens when you put a guy in right field who doesn't play there, you know, but he could kind of ease the outfield depth issues. And I'm not saying he'll be up next year or even in 2 or 3 years, but it'll be nice to be like, there's this future center fielder.
Yeah. For a team that has very few, you know, high end outfield prospects, it's nice that the early returns on PCA mm-hmm. have been so encouraging.
Oh yeah. It's encouraging for sure. And I still like the swing a lot. I like the bat speed a lot. I don't know if he'll hit for power, but you could kind of circumvent that with the elite defense and the walking. Like, I think he can have a good eye. And then if he's a doubles machine who plays elite defense and walks, okay. especially if the ball is dead, I don't know if they're going to keep the ball this way because home runs are way down anyway. So maybe those power bats kind of die out, but of course they could just mess with the ball again in like 3 years. So who knows?
Speaking of outfield depth, there is one more person we should probably discuss, and that's Jake Mangum, who
is a power machine now.
Yeah, is apparently jacked and yoking homers left and right,
hitting like line drives missiles out of the ballpark.
Yeah,
just absolute hitting piss missiles out of the baseball park. Which good for him.
Good for him.
Like,
yeah,
he's one of those dudes who's going to be like 33 and still playing in the minors. And have gotten multiple cups of coffee in the majors type guy. So good for him.
I'm now more confident that he, I was already pretty confident he would get at least 10 big league plate appearances. I'm now more confident that happens. So.
Because he's like jacked and hitting homers now.
So yeah, because it's not impossible to imagine him hitting, you know, running into one.
Oh yeah, for sure. And if he keeps hitting the ball as hard as he is, he's gonna just the everything else about him, the defense and the leadership stuff. Is just going to get him up the system.
Yep.
He seems like that guy who is
just around forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like that dude. And he seems like that dude who that teams would like to re-sign to minor league deals constantly. To like help at Syracuse and stuff. Like, from, if we're speaking from the Mets here.
Definitely. All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this week's installment of From Complex to Queens. If you have any questions or comments, you know, whatever, you can email us at fromcomplextoqueens@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and, you know, leave questions or comments there. You can find me at KenLavin91. You can find Thomas at SadMetSzn, S-Z-N. You can find Lucas at ElVlahos343. And you can find Steve at SteveSippa. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to rate and review it. Thank you for listening. And as always, love the Mets. Love the Mets.